Hey guys, so Classic Car Garage, check it out. It's on the Yesterday channel and you can catch up on it on UK TV Play. And make sure you see tomorrow's episode, because I'm putting this out on a Wednesday. Tomorrow's episode, that's 1st of June, that's Thursday, 1st of June at 9 o'clock. Why should you watch that? Because I'm on it. But of course, Colin is on it throughout, because it's basically your show, isn't
it? It's my show.
So what we're going to do is we're going to talk to Colin about the show, what the experience has been like, and a little bit about what goes on here. So let's do that. Right, so before we can even get started, obviously I've come back to the garage where, I don't know if it's right to call it a garage, it's more a facility really,
it's
isn't it?
It's a training facility.
Training facility, yeah. So I've come back to the scene of where we shot this particular car, which is going out, like I said, in tomorrow's episode. This is my BMW E30 325i. And of course, we've barely been here a few minutes and your students are basically, they're all around the car now, aren't they? Diving into the engine bay now.
This is typical. They just pour all over anything. Yeah. Anything that's a little bit different, then they want to know about it.
Yeah.
Or they've researched it, or they've seen it in their garage and they want to have a little bit of a closer look. And it's fortunate for them that they're still at an age where they can still see a classic car and understand it. The generation coming behind them won't see these cars very often, and therefore they won't have the hands-on.
Yeah.
But no, we could be sitting here for an hour or two.
We might do the whole thing sitting here, actually.
Because the group's getting larger and larger.
So let's, for the benefit of people, explain what it is that you actually do and who these people are that, you know, are so fascinated by my E30.
Well, I run a company called North London Garages. It's London's oldest training facility for motor vehicle apprenticeships. And so these apprentices, they've been coming, not all of them coming here, but all this time. But since 1970, we've been training apprentices. Yeah. About 3,500 or so have gone through and qualified at various levels. So we have a level two apprenticeship and a level three. These gentlemen here, they are level two apprentices, so they haven't reached the end of that first phase, which is to get your semi-skilled qualification.
Oh, right.
And then they'll move on to the advanced level apprenticeship, which is a further year or so. So all told, it takes about 3.5 years to fully qualify.
Right, okay. And so typically, I mean, we're here not on a weekend, not on a Tinker Day session, but this is a normal day. So typically what goes on here?
Each day of the week, Monday through to Thursday, we have apprentices that will turn up one day a week for their day release. They're at work 4 days, they're here for one.
Right,
we teach the theory to support the practical element that they complete in the workplace. So they'll do it at work but not quite understand how it all comes together.
Right.
Then they will come here and then we'll bolt that theory aspect to it.
Right.
And at the end of the apprenticeship, they'll do something called an endpoint assessment, where they are tested not only for their knowledge through examination, but they're tested for 2 days for their skills. So they're given a test by an external assessor over 2 days. And then on top of that, they have to have a 1 hour conversation with that assessor about the technical aspects of their job. And you need to know all of those parts, pull it all together, and then you get that qualification, whether it's a level two or level three.
And is it just classic cars, or is it any cars, basically?
Absolutely anything.
Right.
They'll touch a little bit on classics. Yeah. They'll do a lot of modern, of course, hybrid electric vehicles are prominent now. So they'll do a lot of
And that's a whole different level of training, isn't it, with electric vehicles?
Completely different.
Yeah.
And a lot of it for us, the initial training, it's all about being safe around electric
vehicles. And because safety with the electric vehicles is a massive thing.
Yes, it is. And a lot of employers will negate the safety part because we need to get the car in and out quickly. But as long as our apprentices know what they should and shouldn't be doing, that's the important bit. So they will come in, they'll get a level one, and then they'll go on possibly to do a level two or even level three in hybrid electric vehicles.
But it's fascinating to see that although they're working on the newer vehicles, and that's what your training, majority of the training is for, but I mean, how fascinated they seem by a 1980s car, right?
Absolutely. This is where it came from.
Yeah.
To where it is now.
Yeah.
And so you have always got to go back to that point where, well, my dad had one of these, boss has had one of these, and this is what he told me. And that's what they're pulling on that experience and knowledge.
In the same way that I did it as
an apprentice, I was pulling on the knowledge and experience of the guys that I worked with who were much older.
Yeah.
And they're doing exactly the same now.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're the last generation, I believe, possibly one more after, that will have in the future somebody say to them, what was it like to work on a petrol engine?
Yeah.
Because they can remember
it. And that might be soon, actually.
Yes.
So whilst they've actually closed the bonnet...
I think we need to get out here before they decide to do anything else.
We might need to make a little bit of a move.
Somebody was talking about pulling the gearbox out.
I know, seriously. I mean, that might be a good thing, it might be a bad thing, but I don't know. At the moment, I don't have any problems with the car, as far as I'm aware, so I think it should be okay.
Well,
but the main thing, because what I really want to talk to you about today is the show, you know, and how the show has gone.
I've seen it on the side there.
That's what it's all about. As long as I've got a follower today, I've had a good day.
We're just coming out.
No, that's great. So I hope you managed to see what you find, what you were looking for and stuff like that.
Not every day, they don't see them anymore. So it's nice when you do see one in good condition. It's lovely.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks a lot. Cool.
Appreciate it. Take care.
That's it, you've got the cool stamp now.
That's it. Well,
you're a friend for life, as far as I'm concerned.
The thing is, the amazing thing that I found with this car is that when I owned it back in the 90s, you know, I was a typical Asian kid in a black leather jacket driving around this playing Bhangra. The reaction was not always very positive, if you see what I mean. Because at that time it was still your typical 3 Series, right?
Yes.
Right. But now it's completely different. The sort of respect that you get, the appreciation that you get, the comments. I mean, even just coming here, I had a van driver pull up next to me and started talking to me about the car and stuff like that. But it's incredible how the cars seem to get cooler and better with age, don't they?
With age.
Yeah.
And people love these cars.
Yeah.
My son, he's running around in one, but it's not a manual, he has an auto.
Yeah.
And he has seen this one on numerous occasions. He loves this car.
Right. Say hello to him.
I will.
Now that we're trying to get out of here, I think I'll try and maybe join the A10 or something. Feel free to direct me if you know better roads and stuff like that. No problem at all. But let's talk a little bit about how did the show come about, first of all?
Right. Believe it or not, it came about through a conversation over dinner with a group of like-minded car enthusiasts in a car club, and we were having our end of year meal, and the conversation went around to, well, what's on your list of to-dos for this winter? And you sit there listening to everyone, and everyone's got an idea about what they want to do, and in some instances you think, well, crikey, that job's going to be a bit awkward for you to do it. But I'm not saying anything to them because I don't want to actually put myself in a position where I'm actually asking them to do something and they can't actually do it. We take chuck a right.
Okay.
Yeah, you get a good run to the end. So from that at that point, I went away and I spoke to the club chairman and the club secretary.
And this is, which club was this?
And this was with Afro Classics.
Right, yeah.
And I said to them, look, I've got a workshop facility that I'm happy to share with the club members twice a year.
Yeah.
And they can bring in their cars and they can do a tinker session.
So this is an interesting thing because I guess a lot of people that are new to the show or have seen the show on TV think that maybe this is a setup that's just for the show. But in fact, no, the tinker thing is something that this is a real thing that you do.
Yes. It's about giving something back to your club.
Yeah.
It's allowing club members to come in and do some of the bits that they need to do on their car. We're not, none of us getting any younger.
Yeah.
We've got club members in their 60s, 70s, even 80s. Yeah. Who themselves now are struggling in their small cramped garages or even parked up on the roadside trying to get a repair done.
Yeah.
Could be seen as quite dangerous.
Yeah.
But if you have the right facility with the right tools and the right advice, a job that takes you 2 hours at home, you could do it in 30 minutes in the workshop.
So when you initiated this concept of doing the Tinker Days with the club, I mean, what was the take up on it?
Initially, we had, I think we had about 15, 16 cars turning, and about 30 or 40 cars outside.
Right.
But people just turned up and thought, well...
So from the get-go, people were up for it. They were like, this is a great idea.
But they didn't see... They wanted to come and see it.
Yeah.
But not everyone wanted to be involved.
Yeah.
It was after the first time that suddenly everyone thought, hold on, we've got a workshop. We've got a facility that we can use. It's been offered to us. So we can, before we start our season, we can go out, we can have our cars checked, we can do our little bits of work to it. And at the end of the season, when it comes to winding down, we can still come in and again, have our vehicles looked at.
Yeah.
So the second session, I think we got through about 38 or 40 cars.
Yeah.
So it was a large throughput of vehicles in the workshop. But because you're constrained to a time of roughly about 2 hours maximum.
Right, I see, I see.
It means then you're not going to get involved in pulling engines
out. You're not
going
to do an engine rebuild or anything like that.
But gearboxes like, out, unless
so,
they're very
so
simple.
So the Tinker Day means like things that you can do straight away, like something that's easy, that's doable.
Yes.
So how did the TV show come about then?
Well, the TV show came about because of you. So we met at Blackheath.
We did, yes.
Just after lockdown.
Yeah.
And the TV company watched the video some six or seven months later.
Yeah, I did a video on the on that event, and I covered the whole the Afro Classics Club and what amazing stuff they do,
And of course, on the video, I'd given my name.
That's right.
And I'd give the name of the company. And from that, they were able to then trace me.
Right.
And said, we'd like to do something on apprenticeships, maybe, with classic cars.
Yeah.
Look, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I used to, but so we don't do it anymore. We combine it within the complete program that we deliver. And they said, have you got anything else? And I said, well, we do actually have something.
Yeah.
And explained to them about the Tinker
Days. The Tinker Days,
And they said, could we have permission to film it? And I said, well, I can't give you permission to film people coming in, but I can say you can use the facility. You need to speak to Afro Classics.
Yeah.
And when you've spoken to the club, then the club will give you permission or won't give you permission, depending on how it goes.
Yeah.
And in the end...
Should we go straight on?
We take a right.
Yeah, there's an E30 there as well. Look at that.
Oh.
That's an F-Range as well, like mine, so...
There was an open Manta park down there.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's only after the guy.
Isn't it just great to see cars like that just parked, you know, even though I'm in one and I'm still excited about seeing it, you know?
I'm wondering, what is it doing there? I mean, you wouldn't want to leave an E30 parked up at the road.
Well, the thing is, I do, because I use it, and I have to be really careful where I park it, but sometimes I literally just have to park it places, you know? But anyway, but going back to the show, so then, but it's kind of, it's opened up to other people as well, hasn't it? It's not just the Afro Classics Club.
We've now opened the door to other clubs, other cars. So the benefit is being felt by lots of different clubs, as well as individuals who own classic cars.
Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't think it would take off as much as it did.
The show itself.
And,
so tell me this, before we get into the actual show, I mean, had you done anything like that before?
No.
No media stuff, no TV stuff, nothing like that at all?
No.
No.
No. It's all fresh, brand new, and yeah.
And how has that experience been then?
Sometimes...
I mean, you're a TV star now.
Crikey.
I mean, do you know what I mean? This is amazing, right?
Some of it's frightening. I think when we did it, we had such a laugh at times. You had to forget the camera was there.
Yeah.
And so you were...
Is that the best way that you've approached it? To actually just forget that there and just be yourself?
Be yourself.
Yeah.
And if it's going to go wrong, then let it go wrong. And then...
That's the reality.
The reality is that things sometimes break or things don't go as well as they should do. But we are technicians, and I've always said that I'm an assessor of mechanics, and that's what I'm qualified to.
Yeah.
So not only am I a technician, but I'm also an assessor, which means I can watch somebody work, and it's my job to say, is that person competent or not?
Yeah.
And I'm looking for things when I assess a technician. It could be a 2 or 3 hour assessment, but I'm looking for things to go wrong.
Yeah.
Anybody who says I've done that 100 times and it's perfect every time, you haven't learned. You learn
That's really interesting. So you actually want to be in a scenario where things go wrong, because by things going wrong is how you actually learn to put them right.
Correct. I mean,
but tell me this, because again, going back to the fact that you're doing the TV show for the first time, was that your same learning process when you found yourself basically talking to camera.
Well, the worst thing is, you don't want to break anything on camera.
Right.
So you try and think through every job and every scenario that you could possibly get that could go wrong. So you're thinking all the time.
Yeah.
And at times, even on camera, I look back, did I actually say that? Because you're going at 100 miles an hour.
Exactly. So
you're trying to explain something. Yeah. At the same time, you're trying to do something.
Yeah. Was it a surprise to you just how much goes into the process of making one of these shows? Because I think a lot of people, they think that people just turn up with cameras and they just film.
They film.
Yeah.
No, I think because I'd had two bites of the cherry with the... First of all, we did the a pilot, and then we did a secondary pilot.
Yeah.
And so I more or less got into the group after the first one.
Yeah.
When it said, "Right, can we just go back? Just say that again?" Because we didn't quite get that bit. But what I did like was the fact that nothing was contrived.
Yeah.
You couldn't make something up beforehand.
So everything then, on the show that we see is what happens on the show. Is it? Is it okay to go this way?
Yes, it is.
So. Yeah. Everything that we see is exactly what happens.
Exactly what happens.
Yeah.
Nothing is preset. The vehicles come in. We are told what it is that they need doing when we meet the customers. And the whole production team ensure as best they can that you don't have anything to do with those people that come in. So all the classic car owners, we will be back into the workshop.
When
the car comes in, that's it. So
everything
is as live as you can get it.
Right.
And as real as it is.
But also so that
you
can focus on what you're meant to do rather than, you know, worrying about people coming in, going out, keeping them entertained, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Although that's what you would do in a normal day, right? You would you would chat, because you're a car guy, we're all car guys.
We chat.
You know, you could just chat, like just what happened now as we were trying to get into the car. We're just car guys, just chatting about cars,
We're just talking about cars.
Yeah.
And so many people turned up. I mean, lots of people just turn up on a day, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
And some of those people, not even booked in for us to see them.
Yeah.
But they just turned up and we said, we'll have it in. What's wrong? Oh, great, that's it, fine. Indicators don't work, fine.
And I'm guessing that's gotten a lot worse since the show went out. And now people, I reckon people think that it's just a free-for-all, anybody could turn up, right?
We have people turning up at the weekends. So it's not unusual on a Saturday to have people turning up. And they'll turn up just for a chat. Some want to book their car.
Fair enough, yeah.
Others have said, look, I've got a gearbox that fitted on the car. Can we do something with it?
Yeah.
But it is a fraternity, the way I look at it.
Yeah.
And we always communicate well with each other. So if somebody wants to come along and have a chat, please, by all means.
I mean, it's a fraternity, like you say, and you love having a chat. But what is the most satisfying aspect of all of this? Is it still being able to help people with their cars, or being able to sort of spread the message further through a television show?
For me, it's always been about that person and that car.
Yeah.
That person who came in with a problem has left without the problem, but they've actually learned something in the process of finding out what was wrong in the car.
Yeah.
And it's not that they're going to become an overnight technician.
No.
But
I certainly didn't.
No, but you become slightly more confident.
I did.
In that I mean,
without telling you what the problem was on the car, because I don't want to spoil, you've got to go watch the episode. But I'll tell you this, Colin, because we did it. We addressed and we fixed the problem on the day.
Yes.
I mean, it's a minor problem, but actually it's a major hassle. You know, it's a major inconvenience.
Yes.
And it did happen again. But for the first time, I thought, you know what? I'm going to do it myself. And I did.
You did it.
And it's been fine since, you know, so.
Wow.
And that came from being with you guys, you know.
See, it's the small things.
Yeah.
Small lessons being learned, big steps.
Yeah.
And that is great.
Yeah.
a small lesson learned and a big step in terms of
and I think
your,
you know, well, this is the thing, because as I said to you on the show, and I meant it and it was true, and a lot of people are like, oh, some parts of the show are made up, and you know, you get that with television, but the reality is, despite the fact that over 3 decades as a motoring journalist and somebody that's been around cars pretty much all his life and worked about them, talked about them, etc., but I've never actually worked on them. I've never worked on a car, and I don't. I literally refuse to work on cars, you know. I'm like, leave it to people that know what they're doing. And I think one of the reasons that is, it comes out of a fear.
Yes.
I have like a fear that I'm going to make things worse. And I think a lot of people can relate to that.
Yes.
I feel like if I start to fiddle with something, I'm just going to make it worse. And it's then gonna it's going to end up, even, it's going to cost me even more because I'm going to break it even further. And I think one of the things that you showed me that day was that actually you can try a few little things and see if you can get away with it.
Yes.
You know, if it works, it doesn't. If you, this is otherwise, this is how you put it back together again. Yes. You know.
Yeah, and it's not difficult.
Yeah.
Have a little bit of faith in yourself, and you think, right, okay, I'm gonna push the boundary a little bit on this, and I'm gonna try it, see if it works.
Yeah.
And with tinkering, everyone likes to tinker. We all like to play around with things to see how we can best get the best out of something.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about washing machines. I used to, and in days gone by, we used to get washing machines playing up. I used to have them in bits.
Right.
I was fascinated. Yeah. I have no reason to be fascinated.
Yeah.
To love tinkering around with washing machines.
Yeah.
Did I ever get them fixed?
Yeah.
8 out of 10 times, yes.
Right.
A couple of times I go, no, it's totally flummoxed.
A couple of times you had to call somebody.
Yeah. Somebody else. So, we've seen bits to go and get a new one, but I absolutely love playing around. We talked about 30 years ago when washing machines used to break down quite frequently.
Yeah.
But it's just natural that we want to tinker.
Yeah.
You know what you can do?
Yeah.
You could go right the way round the roundabout and we can go right the way back up.
Let's do that.
Really
this is a nice word actually.
Yeah.
So tell me, what's been the reaction to the show since it's gone out? So we're on episode 6 has just aired. Episode 7 is going out, well, tomorrow as you watch this.
Yeah.
So what's the reaction have you had?
Well, I can't go to a
this
car
one, right?
show. Yes, this one. I can't go to a car show without somebody saying, hello, Colin.
Excellent.
It's quite strange that somebody will use your first name.
Yeah. And is that true of all of the guys? Because every one of the guys that works, your regular team, they've all become personalities in their own right, haven't they?
Every one of us has had the same experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say to them all, look, go out and enjoy it.
Exactly, make the most of it. Yeah.
Yes, and people do want to see you and they are surprised when they turn up at the event and you're standing there or you're walking around.
Yeah.
So it's something that I think we are sharing.
Yeah.
And they do come up and ask if they can bring their car in for a tinker.
Yeah.
And it is the same as usual. I ask them to contact the TV company. We can book them in through the TV company.
Yeah.
But it's just people wanting to be people and have that discussion. You know?
So, I mean, that's an amazing attitude. I always say as well, it's like, I know some people get a little bit of, I know it can be quite difficult when you get complete strangers coming up to you and talking to you, and I've been in that situation myself.
Yes.
But the way I've always approached it is, you know what, you've got to make the most of it, because how often do you have an opportunity where you have that level of recognition and appreciation? And if somebody takes it, because somebody told me something very interesting once. They said, if that one person has come up to you, that's probably 1 out of 10 people that saw you and were too shy to come up to you.
Yes.
So the fact that that person's come up to you, you should appreciate that they have broken out of their shell
and
to come and
over.
Say hello. And also, you know what? The feeling that you get when somebody does that. Because it's validation, it's corroboration, isn't it?
Everything has been, since the program and of meeting people, about how much they've enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
And, it's a program. It's a program for people like us. It's for geeks, but the geeks are loving it.
Yeah.
I enjoy watching it.
I do as well.
And so, and we made it.
Yeah.
So, if we're enjoying it, then that's the validation.
And I think one of the good things about it is, like you said, because it's Tinker Days and because it's not big jobs, it's a program that people can watch and actually genuinely get inspired to have a go.
Absolutely, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
It's, you know what? It's not that difficult.
Yeah.
It's not that technical, some of it. Some of it is quite rudimental.
Yeah.
In terms of when we look at our old classic cars compared to a modern vehicle.
Yeah.
It's straightforward.
Yeah.
We can actually take this vehicle, we can repair it, and we can do it with basic tools and equipment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a little bit of know-how. So to have classic car owners come into the workshop and be able to experience what we were doing 30 odd years ago, and
right,
cars,
and
you think, come on, you can do this.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
It's amazing.
You know,
and what about the future? Do are we expecting another series of this?
Well, we're still waiting to find out if they will go for another series.
I think it should be a done deal. Guys, if you haven't watched this, watch it, and also tell the channel how much you like it, because I think it's brilliant. It definitely needs to be recommissioned.
Please.
Well, onwards and upwards, I think, for the show, right?
Yes. definitely some different projects.
We haven't
you haven't seen all the things that we've done yet.
Right, right.
And I'm not going to give away too much.
No, no, people got to watch. Yeah.
Yes, we've done an extended tinker in one show.
Cool.
And I'm not going to say anything more than that. Yeah. It's probably one of my favourites.
Right.
But it drew me to tears. I was so happy
that
they switched the camera on at the right time.
Yeah.
But
it's amazing how cars can get such an emotional reaction, right?
Yes, from its owners and for those people who are, I suppose, around the vehicle, but not actually the owners of the vehicle. There's so many
stories.
Because
there's nostalgia, there's reminiscing, there's my uncle had one, or my dad had one, or, you know, I rode in one. Now, another thing I want to touch on a little bit is because your facility here is in the area which is going to come into the new expanded ULEZ zone.
Yes.
How is that going to impact things like Tinker Days, you reckon?
It may well do.
Mm.
We will possibly look at it as, look, if you're coming in, it's one day.
Yeah.
So treat yourself for a day.
Yeah.
But it will come into the new ULEZ zone from August.
Yeah, end of August, Yeah.
And
it's crazy, isn't it? Because people say to me, it's like, oh, it's only £12.50. But it's £12.50, but it's like the straw that broke the camel's back. You know,
yes.
It's just like, why, you know, classic car owners spend a lot of time, effort, and dedication, and indeed money on their cars.
Yes.
And it seems to be a little bit unfair to hit them with yet another charge, right?
It is just a tax.
Yeah.
If you want to ban vehicles, then ban the vehicle completely.
Yeah.
But if you...
If it's about pollution, then why have any cars?
Then you have to get rid of all of them.
Yeah.
The minute you allow a vehicle on the road and you say you can pay for that privilege, then actually...
It's a tax. And
you don't care
if
the vehicle is on the road or not, as long as you are in receipt of your
£12.50.
And no doubt.
It does seem very cynical, doesn't it?
Yeah. A year from now, it will be £15.
And that's the worry, isn't it?
And it will continue to go up. But if you want to drive your car, feel free.
Yeah.
You can pollute as much as you like.
Yeah.
Just pay us £12.50.
Yeah. And the reality is that newer cars, I mean, I can drive a 5-litre brand new Mustang, no problem, right now, into London. It's ULEZ compliant.
Yes. My Stag is ULEZ compliant.
Because it's beyond a certain age. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, it's. I wouldn't say it's the best of vehicles.
Yeah.
Oh, look, see?
Nice. SEC.
Yes.
You know, they are probably my favourite S-Class.
I've been trying to buy that off him for 2 years.
Really? You should get it, man.
He won't sell it.
I've been trying to persuade my friend to get one because he's a proper Mercedes geek. And to me, because I grew up in Saudi in the 80s.
Yes.
And that was like, in the hierarchy of cars, that would sit at the top of the tree. An SEL or an SEC of that era. Those were the cars to have, you know.
He won't sell it.
I don't blame him.
It's sat there now for over 2 years.
Yeah.
And every now and again you go and go.
Yeah.
He just shakes his head. Okay.
So have you got a taste for television? Do you think you're going to be doing more projects and stuff like this in addition to what you're doing now?
I don't know if I've got a taste for television or television's got a taste for me.
That's a good way of putting it. I like that.
I think I'm just going to go back to being normal Colin after this.
No, but you don't go back to it. You just continue to be it.
Well, true.
Yeah, that's because that's who you are.
Well, at the moment, I'm calling you goes down the road and somebody shakes your hand.
Well, look, because I can say this, a hand on heart, because I did, although like on the TV show, we pretend like we just met.
Yes.
Which what we were told to do. But like you say, I knew you earlier. I met you earlier. I've known you for like, what, 3 or 4 years now?
Yeah, getting it's on fair for 4 years.
Yeah. And you know, I can honestly say you're the same Colin that I met. You know, it's not like the TV show has had any impact on you whatsoever.
None. No, still the same. In fact, I drink less coffee, I drink more tea.
Oh,
that's
good.
The only difference in the last 6 months. But barring that, I am still the same person.
But would you like to do more content, more things that are related to cars and classics and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
I mean, I know you watch quite a bit of mine, and thank you very much for that. And there's something very interesting that you said a while back, and you actually said it to my daughter in turn when she asked you what content you like. It really struck me that you said that you liked the episode that I did when I went to Pakistan.
Yes.
And I was suddenly surrounded by classic cars. And to you, it was kind of like an eye-opener because you just don't think about, you know, classic cars and classic car culture and places like that.
Absolutely. I mean, that was a great series.
Yeah, thank you.
That was really, really... But also the types of people who were classic car owners, they were just the same as the classic car owners here.
Yeah.
Same enthusiastic. Yeah. And all they want to do is talk about it.
Yeah.
And they make that time. Yeah. So what can you say? I would love to do some more.
Isn't it great how, you know, when you talk, then the 3 Series is still there?
Look at
that. Isn't it great when you look at these things and you go classic car people,
yes.
No matter culture, religion, where they're from, who they are, they're all the same ultimately.
They're petrol heads. I mean, it could be diesel heads as well these days, but I mean, the term petrol head just suits them all, suits all of us.
Yeah.
Because our interest and our love is anything that's motorised.
And it's a great unifier, isn't it? It brings people together, doesn't it?
It brings people together. Yeah. It puts smiles on people's faces.
Yeah.
So no matter where you go, if it is a car show, if I'm walking down, I was walking down to Greg's to get to have lunch, and somebody stopped me the first time. I was so embarrassed. You were the guy off the TV.
Yeah.
I've got a classic car. Yeah. And that was it. Oh,
that's
hold
it.
On. Conversation time.
Yeah.
So we're there talking about his own car.
Yeah.
And those are the things that if that show can bring more people together, then
I think that we need that now more than ever, don't we? Because as I've mentioned in other content that I've done, you know, it feels like to an extent politically there's a little bit of a war on cars at the moment. There's
Absolutely.
A lot of negative propaganda. But ultimately, I always maintain that cars are a force for good, you know, whether in a functional sense or in an emotional sense, right?
Yeah. They are there to give us joy.
Yeah.
And I mean, people do buy cars just to get them from A to B.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, but they actually buy the car that they want because they want that car for a particular reason.
Yeah.
And it's a given the pleasure when they're outside of the taking it from A to B, and it's that pleasure part of their life, that they actually go out and enjoy using them.
Yeah.
So I, for me, getting in my car, like yesterday, I think we went out to, where were we yesterday? We went out for a drive and a stay.
Right.
And it was just for us to have a bit of time out. We went for a drive, got to Mayfair, and decided to stop off at a little tea house and sat outside having tea and cake, which was lovely, and watched the world go by, not a lot of people, and then just strolling along, came over, said hello, was William Defoe.
Right, oh, no way! No way!
And he's like, I think Carmen, my missus, she was like, lovely. Yeah. We've got the stag parked right there, and of course it's drawing in a lot of attention.
Yeah.
But and of course he's looking at it as well.
Yeah.
So it's all about that car bringing so much to us as a couple.
Yeah.
But it does. That's the same for so many people. No matter what car it is,
whether
it's an E30 BMW.
Yeah.
I so missed my E30 BMW. Whether it's an E30 BMW.
So did I. That's why I ended up with this again, you know.
I'm going to see my son because he's got the one that should be mine. But
take it back.
Yeah, I did. I don't think I'd stand a chance. But
you know, it's very interesting what you said, because I was at the Enfield pageant, as you know, on Sunday.
Yes.
I think you went on Saturday.
I was there Saturday.
And I met a guy there with the Ford Gran Torino, the Starsky and Hutch Strike Tomato, right?
One of six, or he's number six.
Exactly. This one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, and I was talking to him, and he said something really interesting. And, you know, he bought the car when he was suffering from cancer, so it was kind of like, you know, to treat himself, to help his own, you know, mental well-being, if you like.
Yes.
But what he said, what really struck me, is that when I'm feeling really down or really fed up or whatever, I go for a drive in this thing.
Yeah.
And also, I feel happy driving it, but the reaction that I get, the smiles that I get, you know, that positivity reflects back on me.
Yes.
You know, and it's just, it's incredible how much, you know, goodwill it generates.
People non-stop. You have a classic, they can't help but wave.
Yeah.
You know, you get the thumb up, you get the waves.
Yeah.
Bus drivers, coach drivers, taxi drivers, general people walking down the street, people at the bus stop.
Yeah.
Certain cars just bring about so much nostalgia. And you find that people automatically warm to it.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel better because they're smiling at you all the time.
And
I love it.
That's got to be a good thing, right?
It's got to be a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. You're bringing joy.
Yeah. No
matter what
amazing.
The mayor says.
No matter what the mayor says, exactly. No matter what anybody says, the classic cars, cars in general, but particularly classic cars, are just something special. And there's something to be cherished. And I think that, you know, long may we continue to be able to enjoy them.
Yes.
Long may we also continue to be able to enjoy Classic Car Garage, because I think it's turning into a fantastic little show.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see where it goes next. And I've got to give you my full respect and hat tip for what you've done with that. It's absolutely
thank
you and
you
your team,
much.
Actually, all the guys.
All
they've
the
all
guys.
Done a terrific job with it, you know. But thanks so much for taking the time today to
pleasure.
Talk to me about
pleasure.
It.
Pleasure. Great. It's fantastic to see you again. Always. Anytime you want to come here, you know that. The door's always open for you.
Awesome. Good stuff, brilliant. Man.
Thank you. Brown car
guy. Hope you enjoyed that video. If you did, please, please hit the like button and share this video as well if you can. And while you're at it, check out these guys who also sponsor my content. I am deeply grateful to them because it helps me to buy new equipment, put fuel in the cars, and yes, buy a cup of coffee. You can do the same. Just go here or right here on YouTube. Just hit these three little dots down here and click on thanks. Make sure you're signed in first. My content is free. But this is how you can help me keep it that way. I may even send you a gift. Oh, by the way, watch this next.